favorite topics of pastors and parishioners alike. I remember my first position in the seminary. I was on my vicarage as a student pastor at a church in Denver, Colorado, and we worked out our preaching rotation. And Pastor Dave said, "You're going to preach on this particular Sunday, and here are the Bible verses you're going to look at. And by the way, the theme is stewardship." And I went, "No, I don't want to." Because nobody wants to listen to a stewardship sermon. They really don't. I'm just being honest. But I hope this morning we can see this idea of stewardship in a completely different light. The principle that I want us to understand this morning is that we were created for stewardship. Now, a couple of things I want us to get out of the way before we get going is everybody seems to have a different definition of what stewardship is and what it looks like and all that. So here's my definition of stewardship. Stewards are faithful users, managers of the resources given them. That's what a steward is. A steward is one who uses or manages the resources in their possession properly or faithfully. Now, let's put a little bit of a church piece into this, and we'll say that good stewards, biblical stewards, are faithful users, managers of the resources God has given them. Now, as we understand this, you're still probably thinking, "I know where this is going." And so I want to get a few definitions out of the way before we get into the rest of our message. So one more definition. We've undoubtedly heard the Old Testament principle of a tithe brought up at some point when we talk about good stewardship. And we hear pastors preach about giving to the tithe and increasing to the tithe and this, that, and the other thing. And well, the tithe is very simple, very, very simple. It was an Old Testament law, rule, or mandate that equaled approximately an offering of right around 10% of one's possessions given to God. Now, what we rarely talk about is it wasn't really 10%. It was actually a little bit more than 10%. And what we seldom talk about is that there were more than one of these tithes. I mean, there were multiple tithes, and that you would give to different places and different things within your structure. And so this was an Old Testament mandate. Great idea. It's a great measuring stick. I love it. I'm not going to talk about it much more this morning. We're going to talk about stewardship. Being faithful users and managers of the resources God's given you. But if we understand the tithe, if we understand this 10% measuring stick, I want you to understand the basic operating principle from which my definitions and understanding of stewardship derive. The operating principle is this: God is more concerned or interested in the 90% you keep than he is with the 10% you give. Let me say that one more time. God is more concerned and or interested in the 90% that you keep than he is with the 10% that you give. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Let's say you've got it all together. I mean, like, all of it together. And you've got everything budgeted out, and it's like 10% here and 5% there and 2% there, and all my bills are paid, and I've still got money to put in the savings, this, that, and the other thing. But here's the hitch. If I got 10% squirreled away that I can give to God, but I spend the rest of my life on wild living with all kinds of things that don't bring glory to God, but I'm still giving my tithe, God cares more about that 90% and how I spend it and use it than he does about the 10% that's going to go for the work of the church. God cares more about that, what you keep and use in your own possession, than he ever will about what gets funneled off to his church. God cares about your heart, and that's why. So, I want us to understand all this comes from a basic understanding of creation. And we can learn a lot about stewardship and being good stewards from the Bible's account of creation. Remember, a good steward is a faithful user, manager of all that God has given them. In creation, we know there are 7 days of creation. We've talked about those at different points. And each day was devoted to creating some different portion of creation. And we see God created the heavens and the earth, and he created light and darkness, and he separated the land from the sea, and he added animals and fish and birds and trees and vegetables and plants and all that other stuff. And all of it he created with just a simple word. All of it he created by just speaking something into existence. Till it came to that day 6. And you know, day 6 looked drastically different. Day 6 looked very different from the previous 5 days, because on day 6, God did what no one would expect God to do. And he got down on his knees, and he rolled up his sleeves, and he plunged his hands into the dirt. He plunged his hands way down into all the dirt and mud and gooey stuff. And you could see, right? He had mud caked all around his hands. And God squishing around in the mud. And he puts it all together exactly the way it's always been in his mind. He designed, he created, he formed this man out of the dust of the ground with his own two hands, the mud squishing between his fingers, right? And he formed him in his own image, and then he breathed his life into him. And he created woman in a very similar fashion, taking a rib out of man to anchor her into the rest of his creation. And here we have man and woman, and God created them by hand and breathed his own life into them. And then he says these words: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see, after God finished creating these two perfect beings, after he got done creating Adam and Eve, he gave them a simple, simple command: fill the earth and take care of it. All right, that's what he said. He said, subdue it and have dominion over it, rule over it, protect it, care for it, manage it well. So right there in the beginning, right there in the story of creation, in the account of creation, we can see God placing Adam and Eve as commissioned stewards of all of what God has created. Now, we know what happens later, right? What happens later is that Adam and Eve have this confrontation with Satan, and they do the thing they're not supposed to do. They eat of this fruit that's in the center of the garden, and the fall happens, and sin enters into the world, and bad stuff starts to occur. And right there, everybody seems to think, we seem to teach and understand, that God changed the rules of the game. We seem to bring it into our minds that God changes what he expects of us. But notice, after creation, after the fall, God doesn't say, no longer fill it, no longer subdue it, and no longer have dominion over it. He says, you're still going to fill the earth, but it's going to hurt. And you're still going to subdue the earth, but it's going to rebel. And you're still going to try and have dominion over it, but it's going to be difficult. Nowhere does God tell us to quit being stewards. Nowhere does God tell us to stop taking care of that which God has given to us. And so here's the challenge. When we look at our lives as stewards, we must first go back to creation and see that everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have was created for us, that we might take care of it, that we might use it, that we might be able to apply it to our lives, that we might be able to interact with it, that we might be able to use it so that God might get the glory. Understanding full well that in the midst of it, we're going to have problems. There's going to be some pains. We're going to have our blunders. We're going to use it more for our selfish gain than we do for the gain of God's kingdom or for the glory of God. We're going to try to subdue the earth, but we're going to sometimes do it in a prideful way that tries to give us a better name. We're going to try to be good stewards. But sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to falter. And I think our failures and our falters with our understanding of stewardship happen because we fail to see the seventh day of creation properly. We look at creation and we say, God worked and God worked and God did and God did, and then all of a sudden it was done and he walked away. But creation wasn't done until God rested. Creation wasn't finished. Stewardship wasn't properly instituted until God stepped away and rested and watched it all working together. You see, there was a time in our lives when 40 hours was a normal work week. There was a time in our society when it was appropriate to work a 40-hour week, and anything above that was considered overtime, deserving of extra pay. The culture in which we live today says if you work a 40-hour week, you're a slacker. You've got to work more. The culture in which we work today says if you're not working a 50 to 60 plus hour week, plus volunteering and being involved in all of your kids' activities, plus running from here, there, and everywhere and having leadership positions out the yin-yang, you aren't doing enough and you're just a sissy. Because we've tried to redefine the rules of the game. The rules of the game are consistent. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And on day 7, God rested. God knows when enough is enough. God knows when enough is enough. God knows when enough work is enough work. I asked a simple question this week on my Facebook page. I asked, how do you know when you've had enough rest from your work? And I had a lot of people say different things, and I had a couple private messages and a couple text messages. What are you talking about? And all that. And a few, what's rest? I don't know what that is. I think to have a proper view and proper understanding of stewardship, you have to have a proper understanding of rest. Because nowhere does God say, work until you fall apart. Go until you can't go anymore. Nowhere in this does God say, go full out as far as you can, as long as you can, until you hit a wall and you can't move anymore. And then I'll just create a new one who will do it in your place. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and teach those after you what it means to be good stewards, good and faithful users and managers of all that I've given you. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over it. Take care of what I've given you. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not taking care of the crown of my creation. So God says, in order to be a good steward, a faithful user and manager of all the resources of God, in order to faithfully manage our time, our energy, our reflection, and all of our material possessions, in order to do all of that properly, we have to first manage ourselves. Work and rest. Rest and work. Jesus teaches on multiple occasions. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In another account, he talks to his disciples after a time when they're just being enveloped by people wanting more. He says, come away to a desolate place and rest for a while. And yet again, the New Testament teaches later on, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. A proper understanding of stewardship. A proper understanding of what God has in store for us as good stewards begins in creation, with an understanding that all we have comes from God. Therefore, use it for His glory. Everything we have comes from God. Therefore, use it for His glory. Your work and your rest. Your rest and your work. All of your possessions, all of your time, all of your abilities, all of your treasures, all of everything that you have around you is a gift from God to be used for His glory. I pray today that you find meaningful work for your rest. And I pray today that you find real rest from your work. And I pray that you find it with an understanding that all things that you have in your life come from God, and that you seek to use it to honor and glorify Him with every chance that you get. All you have comes from God. Therefore, use it for His glory. Amen.